All right. Well, I hope the meeting has been a help to you, a challenge to you, encouragement for revival. And I've enjoyed the time with you all. I've always look forward to it. It's been, quite, as preacher said, in quite a number of years. Those of you that have been around a while, you know that. And I always look forward to it. My wife sure missed being here. Wishes she could have been, but pray for her and pray that they'll get some resolution to what she's dealing with. But how many of you are tired right now? You notice my hand's up, okay? So it's been a, you know, something about me and your preacher have been talking a little bit, and I'm 10 years older than he is, so, but talking about getting older, there's certain things that happen, I know that lay people that are not preachers don't understand this. It doesn't make any difference, you know, that we're preachers and you're lay people, but preaching is a spiritual battle, and there's a war that goes on. When somebody stands up to preach the Word of God, the devil's doing everything he can do to try to hinder that and stop that. And the older one gets and the older their body gets, the more that seems to take a toll on you. And so I'm tired, okay? And but I'm thankful to be here. And I've asked the Lord what to give me. I thought I was going to go one way, but the Lord just really put something on my heart. And I'm not going to be real long. What I'm going to do is challenge you with a challenge for this week. I mean, the focus is tried to be the preparation for and leading into and prayer is what this meeting's been all about. But it's hard. I was thinking about this. The Lord really laid it on my heart. It's hard to come into this and not even say anything about Thanksgiving or about that thing about being thankful. So I want to challenge you with a simple thought. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says this in verse number 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Boy, we sure live there today. Covetous, boasters, proud. Boy, we deal with all of this today. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents. And then it says this, unthankful. It goes on to say unholy and without natural affection and truth breakers and all that. Well, when you read down through that list of pretty terrible things, right there in the very beginning, it says, in the last days, people are going to be unthankful. Well, we live in an unthankful. If you look that up, that it'll tell you that word unthankful there means to be to have a lack of gratefulness. And boy, we ought to be a grateful people. We've got a wonderful God. We've got a loving Father that cares about us. God has blessed every one of us better than what we deserve. Amen? And he's given us this life to live for him. And and not only that, not only do we get to live this life, but we have heaven to look forward to also. And he gives us it eternal life. But as I was thinking and pondering on this, and just some thoughts from years past as I've preached around this time of the year, and it's very interesting that in the Bible, I'm flipping from the unthankful to this thing about being thankful. It's very interesting that God, in his word, speaks only 3 times about that word thankful, about what we should be thankful for. I mean, if God put 3 things that we need to be thankful for, we ought to be thankful for those 3 things for sure. So I just want to challenge you that as we go into this week, I want you to think about these 3 things. And I want you to spend time thanking God and being thankful for the 3 things that he says we ought to be thankful for. So I'm just going to give them to you real quick. The first one is in Psalm 100. Look there. And it goes right along with our theme here, if you would, for this meeting. Psalm 100. Give you a second to get there. My wife always says I go too fast. Psalm 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So what is the first thing it is that God is in context here talking about that we ought to be thankful for? Well, we ought to be thankful for the privilege to be able to pray.
Amen.
We ought to be thankful for the privilege to be able to enter into his courts with thanksgiving and into his gates with praise. How thankful are you today for prayer? How thankful are you that you have the privilege and opportunity to stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And because of what Jesus did for us, we can come boldly unto him and bring our requests to him and spend that time worshiping him. What are you saying? God says you ought to be thankful for that. Amen. This week, I prayer of my heart, and God's spoken to me about this too. I'm challenging myself too. And we ought to spend time this week just thanking God for the privilege of being able to pray.
Amen.
The privilege to being able to come to him. To the one that holds everything in his hands. The one that has all the answers. The one that, and he gives us, the one who made the heavens and the earth and everything that we see and everything that is. And yet he gives us the privilege to be able to come to him and talk to him.
Thank you.
Are we thankful for that today? First thing that God says that we're supposed to be thankful for in his word is the privilege to be able to pray, to come before him, to come before his courts with thanksgiving, and or enter in his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And it says to be thankful unto him and bless his name. So the first thing is just simply that, prayer. I challenge you this week to spend some time in worship and in prayer and thank him for the privilege that he gives you to be able to do that.
Amen.
The second thing is this, it's Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I said this would be quick. It's going to be quick. But it may be more important than anything I've said this week. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians, of course, the book written by the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, to the church at Colossae. In this, he's telling the church how they're supposed to live. Things that they're supposed to do and things they're not supposed to do. It talks about, and there, Colossians chapter 3 begins with, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. To set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Then he goes through and talks about mortifying the deeds of the flesh. And then he goes through and talks about there's some things that we need to put off from our life as people in the church. What do you mean? We ought to put off anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication out of our mouth and lie not one to another. Those things ought not be a part of who we are as a church. Amen. And then it goes on down to talk about and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Man, there's some thing we ought to put on the new man, which is of God. Amen.
Amen.
But he goes on to say this as we go on down in verse number 13. It says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. He's talking about the importance of, as a church, that we're forgiving to one another and we don't hold things against each other and we don't quarrel and battle and all that. And then he goes into verse 14 and says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is another word for love, which is the bond of perfectness. Man, we ought to love each other in the church. Amen.
Amen.
There ought to be a strong love for one another that God has blessed us. But verse 15 says this, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, talking about the church.
Yes.
And then he says, and be ye thankful.
Amen.
Well, what's he talking about being thankful for? The church. Amen. The church. Man, we ought to be so thankful that God has blessed us with the privilege,
yes,
to be able to have a church, a local church to go to, and a local church to fellowship with, and a local church to pray for one another, a local church to grow in love one toward another, and to forgive each other, and to help each other to grow and become everything,
amen,
that God wants us to,
yes,
be.
Sir, yes.
We ought to be thankful for the church. Man, there's so many verses we could read about the church. Ephesians 5:25, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. What are you saying, man? We talk about how God loves us. Yes, he loves us, but he sure loves the church.
Yes.
Whew. Man, he loves the church. This is your representation of him.
Amen.
We ought to be thankful that we have the church. I'm amazed at how people treat church today. I'm amazed at how pastors have decided that we only need one service a week to gather together. Why don't we go back and practice the biblical pattern for the early New Testament church? They met every day of the week. Amen. Why? Because the church is important. Amen. We ought to be thankful that we have the church and all the members of it that make up this church. I thank the Lord for what you guys do every year at this time of the year for those bus kids that are just as important as anyone that's sitting here right now.
Yes,
they're part of the church. Amen. We ought to thank God for them. Amen. Thank God for those little bus kids. Thank God. Oh, yeah, sometimes they may get on your nerves. I was waiting for Tim to say amen on that one, but sometimes they may get on your nerves. Sometimes you sit and you wonder, well, you know, is this really worth it? Oh, friend.
Yes, certainly.
I got news for you. It's worth it.
Amen.
It's worth it. You never know how you're going to change one of them's life. I could tell you stories about how God allowed us to have part in people's lives from bus ministries, and they're serving the Lord faithfully today. What do you mean? They're all important. You look around the room. This is a special thing that God's blessed you with.
Amen.
Be thankful for the church. Be thankful for prayer. Be thankful for the privilege we have to go before God and commune with him. But be thankful for the church, the representation of his body that he's given you here in this community, to be that lighthouse that this community so desperately needs. So the first two words that God gives us about thankful, what we need to be thankful about, number one, prayer. Number two, the church. Let me give you the last one. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. What is it if God, I mean, when you stop and think about this, it's pretty interesting that being thankful, which is something that's so important because it's a characteristic of the last days that everybody's going to be unthankful. But he only gives us three things that he uses that word thankful about. That ought to be awful important to us too. Be thankful for prayer. Be thankful for the church. And the third thing here, we'll pick it up in verse number 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." I mean, that's talking about people that know the truth, they hold on to the truth, but they live unrighteous and wicked lives. It goes on to say, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them." By the terms, by what it's saying here, we're talking about people that know him, people that have a privilege to be able to know him. It goes on to say, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Man, I'm telling you what, not only is the world without excuse, but Christians are without excuse for living for God today, for not living for God. Man, we are without excuse to know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and hold on to truth and try to live unrighteous and wicked lives. He goes on to say in verse 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, the birds and the four-footed beasts and the creeping things." It goes on to talk about how even these people have turned to the wickedness of homosexuality and things of that nature, whatever. How did they get to that place? How does somebody that knows what's right and everything get to that place? Well, it said it right there. Neither were thankful. The third time he uses the word thankful, what is it concerning? It's concerning just simply being thankful to know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To know truth. Are you thankful that you have the privilege to know truth? People try to skirt scripture so oftentimes, and they'll pick and choose the thing that they want to follow or do or live by. But let me tell you something. God gives us truth, and so for the purpose of us being able to know what's right and wrong and to live the thing that's true. And we ought to be thankful that he does that, that he allows us that privilege to be able to know him that way. The third thing is simply being thankful that we have the privilege to know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Boy, you ought to take some time this week just to get alone with him and to worship him and to spend time and, yes, pray. And yes, you ought to be thankful for the church and thank him that he's given you the privilege to be able to have this body, to be able to be together. But boy, above everything else, you ought to get alone and spend some time with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and say, Father, I'm so thankful that you let me know you. I'm so thankful that you spoke to me one day, that you showed me that I was a sinner, that I was hellbound, that I needed a Savior. So thankful that you sent your precious son to die for me on the cross. So thankful that you've given me your word so that I can grow in your word, so I can hold on to that truth and live by that. And God wants us to be thankful that we even have the privilege to know him. Because if you're not, the natural digression, you continue to read on down, you see what happens. We turn into a reprobate mind. And I've seen people, preacher, I've seen people serve God in church faithfully and love the Lord and everything, and their lives have tanked, and they've turned away from God. They don't go to church anymore. Some of them's lives are over with. Why? Because they just simply weren't thankful that they had the privilege to be able to know him, to know what's right, and to be able to live the thing that's right by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. What are you saying, Brother Martin? Interesting to me that God in his word only used that word thankful three times. Be thankful for prayer. Be thankful for your church. And be thankful for the ultimate privilege to be able to know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Are you thankful today?
Yes.
I hope you are. But I hope that you'll take it to heart, the challenge that I'm giving you, that this week you'll take some time to get alone and tell God how thankful you are for the things that he expects us to be thankful for. Father, thank you for the privilege and opportunity to be able to be here for these few days. And I've enjoyed the time, Lord, and the fellowship has been sweet. The Spirit has been good. Lord, you've spoken to our hearts, and Father, I pray that you would help us to take these messages and the thoughts that you've laid upon our heart, Lord, from your word, and help us to ponder these things in the days ahead. Lord, as we bring this to a close and just thinking about this thing about being thankful, it goes right back to the first thing, goes right back to what the theme is, thankful about our privilege to be able to pray. Lord, to be thankful for the church that you've blessed us with. Lord, to be thankful that you give us the privilege to know you. Lord, may we never lose sight of that. May we never become unthankful. For it's a dangerous road that it leads us down. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you just say, Brother Martin, God spoke to me. I needed that little thought this afternoon. Would you remember me in prayer? You'd slip a hand up. That's me, Brother Martin. Pray for me. And that's almost everybody's hand. Boy, a good way to close a revival meeting, to have the church, the thing we're supposed to be thankful for, to gather around the altar and say, oh God, seal these decisions this week in my heart. Help me to draw closer to you every day of my life. Help me to long to get close to you, the King of Kings. Help me to get a vision like you want me to have. God, help me to be thankful for the things that you've told us we're supposed to be thankful for. Why don't we gather around the altar as we close out this meeting? Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, bless the altar time. You saw the hands. You know our hearts. I pray that you would just help us to be so very thankful for what you've blessed us with. Lord, I say I love you, and I wish I could say I love you the way that I ought to love you. I pray that you'd continue to work on me. Work on each and every one of us. Help us to be what you want us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Musician plays, if God spoke to your heart, altar's open.
Look up at me. once again. You work together. You've brought a blessing to many young children, to many individuals as well as ourselves. I continue to be amazed, but I don't know why I should. It's what God does with people and what people do in the Lord. I count myself very honored and very blessed to be just a small part of who you are. We're edging near the end of a year. We'll flip a calendar once again. We'll go into a new year with what I pray will be yet more horizons, more summits, if you will. Sure, we'll face some valleys and trials along the way. But it's been a precious journey. I count myself honored to having been able to walk it with you. Go home. Rest. Holidays are coming upon us. Most of us get a little chance of reprieve. Chance to spend some time with family and friends. We'll hit the ground running new year like we always do. Got a big ladies' conference coming. Putting together details for a spring revival. Multiple day meeting again. Gonna schedule some events beforehand into the spring, summer as well, so we don't get caught flat footed. Then we'll enter into the fall and we'll put on probably the biggest ladies' conference we've ever done in our history. And we'll do it together. And we'll be tired. And we'll wear ourselves out. All for the right reasons. And all for the right one. Lord God, as we dismiss tonight, I pray we do so, Lord God, with some of those ambers, Lord God, that we talked about in the beginning of the week. Maybe setting ablaze tonight. Some flame visible, Lord. Some fire burning. Lord, please provide us collectively, comprehensively, Lord, the energy to feed those fires. That, Lord God Almighty, for Heritage Baptist Church, who we are, Lord, to continue to burn strong in flame of light, visible, Lord God, in this community. For not just today, not simply tomorrow, Lord, but for years to come. To the Son of the living God be the glory. Jesus Christ. Amen.